You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Say hello to one another in the Lord. Say hi. Wave. Greet each other. We are in Pentecost. And in Pentecost, it is really advice for each Christian. And there's some really good advice in these last week, this week, and the next, where it talks about how God has the power that he lends to us, right? And today we're going to see that he uses his power even over nature, and that's a blessing to us. We begin our worship today with our first hymn, which is Be Still My Soul. We're going to sing two verses of Be Still My Soul.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuske will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripturing from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Get on Board with Jesus. Our worship this morning follows setting 2. This is found on page 172 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. We will join the congregation in opening our service and singing hymn number 842, verses 1 and 2 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Be Still My Soul, hymn number 842 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just,
and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Him I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Christ Jesus, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer hear their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to the people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. For you alone are the Holy be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, So govern the nations on earth and direct the affairs of this world, that your church may worship you in peace and joy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 11. This is an interesting time in Job's life. He's at the bottom of his emotional well. Everything has been taken from him. And he gets a little bit impatient with God. And God comes back and really lays it on him here. But it reminds us, and God claims his power and his right to do what he wants. We read from Job 38. Then the Lord responded to Job out of a violent storm. He said, "Who is this who spreads darkness over my plans with his ignorant words? Get ready for action like a man. Then I will ask you questions and you will inform me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand anything about it. Who determined its dimensions? I'm sure you know. Who stretched out the surveying line over it? What supports its foundation? Who set its cornerstones in place? When the morning stars sang loud songs together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who locked up the sea behind doors when it burst out of the womb? When I clothed the sea with clouds, when I wrapped it with thick darkness as its swaddling clothes, when I broke its power with my decree, when I locked it up behind barred double doors, I said, you may come this far, but no further. Here is the barrier for your proud ways." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Might be good if you open up your Psalter or your hymnal to Psalm 42a, as the deer.
The congregation will now sing Psalm 42a, as a deer. This may be found in the Psalter on page 213, Psalm 42a, page 213 in the Psalter.
Our second lesson is from Acts 27, starting at verse 13. Here we see God rescuing another from a storm. He has the power to care for us and love us and watch over us. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they could carry out their plan. They raised the anchor, sailed close to the shore of Crete. Before long, a hurricane-like wind called the nor'easter rushed down from the island. Since the ship was caught in it and could not head into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. As we sailed to the sheltered side of a small island called Cauda, we were barely able to secure the skiff. After hoisting on board, the men tied ropes around the ship to reinforce it. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor, and in this way, were driven along. Because we were tossed around so violently by the storm, the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's gear overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the violent storm kept pressing down on us, finally all hope that we would be saved was disappearing. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have followed my advice and not set sail from Crete and avoided this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because there will be no loss of life among you. Only the ship will be lost. In fact, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And surely God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, Ben, because I believe God that it will be exactly the way I've been told. However, we must run aground on some island.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our gospel acclamation. Please rise. Our gospel lesson is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's the account of Jesus stilling the storm. "On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, 'Let's go over to the other side.' After leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took him along in the boat, just as he was. Other small boats also followed him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were splashing into the boat, so that the boat was quickly filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown?' Then he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' The wind stopped, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?' They were filled with awe and said to one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him.'" The gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn. This is new words, but an old tune, which all I think you'll appreciate. "A Vicious Storm, a Raging Sea," hymn 984.
The congregation will now sing hymn number 984 from the Christian worship hymnal. A vicious storm, a raging sea, hymn 984 from the Christian worship hymnal.
Thank you.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Dear people who experience storms in life. A couple years ago, when that whole Titanic craze was going on, and it was interesting, it was historic, and it's not kind of, it's not the way we think these days. We hop a plane to get to Europe. But if those people knew what we knew, would they have gotten on board? Would they put themselves in God's hands? I think it's an interesting thought. Those people did go aboard, and they played shuffleboard and attended concerts, and life went on until they hit an iceberg. Well, Jesus asks us to get on board today with him, and he doesn't promise us easy sailing. He reminds us that he is the one who calms the storms that threaten our physical lives. He's also the one who calms the storms that threaten our eternity. And he will carry us through them all. Let's take a couple of words from our text. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The word of the Lord. Jesus is spending another busy day working away, preaching the gospel, speaking with people. I don't know if you understand, if you have to deal with people in public, it takes a bit on an emotional toll on you. Even if you're just standing behind, the counter at a store, you're interacting with people and you don't know if you're going to offend them. And wow. So Jesus too got, a little tired after his preaching. I don't know if you know this, but I think it's a law that pastors can go home and take a nap on Sunday after church. It's a law. It is a law, at least for me. He was tired. He sleeps right there on the cushions that are there. And storms come. God knows that they're there. Jesus knows that those storms are there. It's important for us to realize, as our hymn talked about, that we're talking about our own storms in our own lives, not just a physical storm. And they come. In fact, Jesus lets those come so that we can strengthen our weak faith when, notice how carefully I say when, we acknowledge him. Think about the epistle reading, the storm for Paul, that God gave him that angel next to him to remind him that he was going to take care of him. And he also did it so that those in the boat who weren't believers, might hear the preaching of the most powerful God, the one who rules heaven and earth. But the hardest storms to deal with are the storms of our own making, aren't they? When we are unwise and immoral in the way that we choose to act, that's when real storms come. That's when doubts occur in our minds. Think about the people in our world who see the evil that is out there and the harm and the difficulty that come, and they would say things like, "Oh, I'm not going to believe in a God who allows that kind of evil." But of course, it's not God who did the evil. It's human beings who often do it. Besides sounding like a spoiled child, such an excuse to defy God simply illustrates their unbelief. They betray where their hearts really are. God didn't start the problems. He set up a perfect world. It was human beings who made the difficulties. And I love it when especially atheists talk about that. Say, "Oh, those Christians are all the problem." Well, Can't blame that on God because you don't believe in God, can you? And so what is the problem? Exactly what God told you in the first place. It's human beings and the storms we make for ourselves. Yes, God allows evil to come into our world, in the physical world as well as our lives. He allows nature, which has been corrupted, to hurt and maim and destroy, because he wants you to look to him. And far too often we're distracted, or far too often we're like the disciples and we doubt. We need to do the opposite and get on board with Jesus. Now, look at this next picture. Jesus is asleep in the stern. He's in the back of the boat, and that's the part that usually stays the lowest, right? Comes in a little bit later, but okay. But he's tired. It's important for us to see who Jesus is here. He is a human being who has a human body, and that body gets tired. And according to what God tells us, we have to take care of our own bodies. Well, Jesus needed to do exactly the same. So there he was, exhausted, taking care of what his own body needs. This is that personal union of God and man in this one special person. What an amazing thing that Jesus, our God, also has the same characteristics we do. But notice one thing about him. He's at the back of the boat, right? And if water's coming over the top of the gunwales, where is that water going? Right down by him. And he sleeps right through it. He has no worries. He has no worries. He's just being rocked to sleep and staying asleep. And then his disciples come and wake him up. Hey, Jesus! Don't you care that we're going to drown? Okay. Let's pace it. They really didn't pray to him when they woke him up, did they? They were desperate. They were fearful. There were several fishermen on here, at least five, maybe six fishermen that were following Jesus around. They knew how to handle the boat. They knew this lake, right? And now, when it's really getting bad, they finally go to Jesus. They're sort of getting on board, but they really aren't, because they certainly didn't really pray, right? They didn't think. Just recently, he had told them, "You're going to be the people on whom I depend for my kingdom to grow. I'm going to send you out to the world to preach the gospel, to be fishers of men. You're the ones I chose." And it would be pretty hard to do that if they were at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. They should have known that, shouldn't they? But just like us, when obstacles come, they folded. I suppose that's not surprising. Most of us are afraid of death. Some try to whistle past the graveyard. And most understand that this is not the end, that death is temporary and life is eternal. In a sinful world, it's both reasonable and natural to fear death, right? But now I want you to look through Jesus' eyes, through God's eyes, and understand that there is something worse, the death of our soul. When challenges come, it can test our very soul. When illnesses or problems in the family come, it can test our soul. What are you going to do when the tests come? Your physical life is important to Jesus. He made that clear when he himself took his human body and put it on the cross. He allowed sinful men to crucify him. And he understood how terrible that would be, but he did it for your body. He died to pay for your body and for your life and for your eternal life. He died to pay for your soul. He understands that this life is your time of grace, the time that you have to come to Him and believe in Him. And He certainly wants these disciples to get that as well. So now when their bodies are in danger, when everything is hopeless and they are helpless, they wake the sleeping Jesus. And here's where I say, disciples, get a clue. You have to wake Him up. Is He worried about what's going on? Not a bit. But from their point of view, they got four disciples around Jesus pitching water out, and they got five others holding on to the sail, you know? And Jesus sleeps through the raging storm because He knows He has everything in hand. Here's what we need to learn. We need to learn that He comes the storms that threaten our eternity, just like He calms the storms that threaten our lives. Don't you care? They asked in weak faith. This wasn't the words of unbelief, but it certainly was the words of weakness and doubt. It was words of accusation against Jesus. Oh, they don't doubt that somehow He can save them somehow, but only if He does the miracles will this come out right. Is He some kind of emotionless robot that He doesn't see where our hearts are? Is He some imperfect being aloof from us imperfect people? Oh my. They're doubting. Think about that. Have you ever said that in a prayer? Do you really care, God? What an insult to God. And yet, we understand those disciples, don't we? And perhaps sometimes, although trying to avoid that kind of thing when in our prayers, yet we fall right into it. We use the wrong words. When we're desperate, things are going wrong, when we have professional problems or personal problems. Oh, those storms. And the disciples, they had attended the funerals of people who died in storms. They had seen the bodies, and they'd seen the hopelessness in the eyes of their loved ones. But Jesus stills the storm, first of all, because He can. When you look at the Greek here, it's really kind of funny. He scolded the storm. I love the way that is there. In fact, it's the words, He put a muzzle on it. All right? He said, be quiet. And then the words of the wind, it says, the wind got tired. All because of His words. He has that power. He did not always choose to use His divine power and glory when He was here, but when He needed to, He did. And He did so here because He loves us and because He loves those disciples. He made it very clear that He can calm our storms and our fears. And He can still our doubts and make them tired. He can strengthen our faith. And all that if we just listen to His word and not listen to the world. Listen to Him and not the fear within your heart. Think about what Jesus could have done. He could have thrown these guys overboard and started out with another set. What in the world? Why not? These aren't working out. They still haven't got it after about a year and a half of following them around. You'd think they'd get a clue. No, instead, He continues to teach them, and He asks a question. You see, when Jesus asks a question, He's really not asking for more information. He doesn't want you to necessarily answer out loud. But He wants you to ask that question of yourself so that you learn. You know, it's that annoying thing of teachers that when you ask a question, what do they always do? They ask a question right back, don't they? Well, that's what Jesus is doing. What were his questions? You remember them? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What was the answer to those questions? It's simply just opening their eyes and listening and observing that he was dead asleep while the other guys were bailing out next to him. Right? Jesus has it under control. And he wants them to think about their spiritual life. And remember, whatever's going on in your life, God can handle it. Give it over to him and then listen. Listen to his word. Here's why, you know, how many times do the disciples ask, could you explain that to us later? And he was really happy to do so. But at times, he gives them an object lesson, like he did here. To learn by doing, this time they failed. But then, they grew. They learned to get on board with Jesus and to listen even more. Let us learn to listen so that we can mitigate those times when the world falls out from beneath us. And the storms in our life toss us like wind on waves. Let us get ahead of these things by studying our word at home. Those of you who have cell phones, how many of you got a Bible on your phone? No, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Get a Bible on your phone. You can find some that'll even read it to you. We live in a world where we can have it right there for ourselves. And you can be just like all those other kids who are walking through places with their things in their ears and can't hear you outside and then not knowing where they're going. Well, you can do the same thing while you listen to your Bible. And you can be just like the rest. Jesus is not talking to the disciples about their loss of their salvation. He's talking about that weak faith of doubt and fear. He's talking about that mistrust of God in our protection and our preservation. God has angels out there for you. God has so many things that are there to take care of you. He's not threatening them with the loss of their eternal lives. How important for us to recognize the same thing in our lives when the storms come. He has everything to help us. Listen to him talk about that. Listen to him show that. Be calm when confronted. Get on board with him in prayer. Get on board with him as he calms the storm and calms your heart. How many times do we in our lives have to trust in ourselves and our methods and in our world, and again it doesn't quite work out the way it's supposed to? Right? How many times has that got to happen? How about if we trust him and choose his way to let it work out? How many times do we need to see Christ blessing his church in practical things and we miss it? We aren't part of it. Get on board. Even when he's getting on a ship that's going in a storm, get on board. He will carry you through it. With his words, he stills the storm that threaten your physical lives, but most importantly, he stills the storms that are our fears, that are our eternal life. Get on board with Jesus so that when the cross comes for you to bear, then you will be able to do it because you have listened to him. Amen. Please rise. The Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit to your strengthening in faith, to your growth in grace, to your patience in suffering, and to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church. We bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with crosses to bear. Lord God, help us to understand how you use the trials and difficulties of life to strengthen our faith in you and cause us to grow in love and joy for you. Bless and encourage us every day that we may see all that you do and rejoice in your good love for us. When those trials come, turn our eyes to you in faith and trust. Bless us that we do not doubt, but help us to come to you with our concerns in love, knowing that you can handle it, that you have the power to still our storm, that you have the power to strengthen our faith. Lord God, be with us in these trials and in these crosses, and help us bear them so that others may see your grace and mercy, as you did with Paul. Lord God, continue to bless us, that we may use the circumstances in our lives to share the gospel with those around us, to share the love that you have for us, and to share that even though we might be a little afraid on this side of heaven, yet we rejoice and have confidence that you will do it all on our behalf and preserve and protect us. Lord God, you have given us examples in recent weeks. We pray again for Willow Grace. We rejoice in the amazing surgeries that she has gone through, and we rejoice in her recovery that she has endured so far. Lord, continue to be with her for about another month or so until she's strong enough to come out of the hospital. Thank you, Lord, for this example in our lives to see your work in our world for us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our offering will be in the narthex as you leave. We'll continue with Evening and Morning. That's hymn 501. This is one that we sang about 2 years ago, if not longer ago, so please pull out your hymnals. It's got a couple little passages that are, they're new to us. So open up your hymnals to 501 to help you sing Evening and Morning, Sunset and Dawning.
We'll now join the congregation in singing hymn number 501 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Evening and Morning, hymn number 501 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And in your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me, two verses of Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me.
The congregation will now close our service with our final hymn, hymn number 849 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Lord, Take My Hand and Lead Me, hymn number 849 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Good evening once again. Not a lot of announcements on this warm summer day. There's a job opportunity at school. You have plenty of options to worship and to study God's Word. Let's see, we got Vacation Bible School next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fairbooth. We need a couple more names to fill in. We're pretty close, but let's finish it off and represent our church well and say it all hi to all our neighbors. Am I missing anything? Does anybody know of anything we need to be aware of? Guest preacher next week. We have a guest preacher, Micah Otto, who recently graduated from the seminary and is a son of the congregation. He will be preaching on next Sunday, June 30th, following the service. He and his wife, Christina, who each previously served in East Asia mission fields, will also present on their upcoming ministry in Manila, Philippines. They look forward to returning to Baraboo, introducing their soon-to-be-born baby boy to the St. John's congregation. So, 30th, you get to see Micah Otto. All right. God's blessings to all of you. Good evening.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo. We invite you to worship with us same time again next Sunday. The cable television rebroadcast this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also stream the services on maxfm.com. You may also watch the services on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's YouTube and Facebook pages 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. The television producer is Will Underwood. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.